keeps you connected to the plan of God for your life. So I know I've gone through times where I felt disconnected and stuff like that, but it was times that I had decided that I was going to pull back.
Yeah.
I'm just pulling back. We got our feelings hurt a little bit, so I moved from the front row to the back row. And soon as the service is over, you head to the door.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah.
And when my pastor did, he said, tell Greg I want him up on the front row. So I submitted to that, and I said, well, let's go on back to the front row where we was. And I went on back to the front row. And then I got reconnected again. You got to be faithful. God is looking for the faithful. Let me just tell you some of the characteristics of the faithful. People who possess the characteristics of faithfulness will walk in uncommon blessing, favor, power, authority, peace, love, and joy. Faithful people are entrusted with what belongs to God. Numbers 12:7 says, but not so with my servant Moses. He is entrusted and faithful in all my house. So God was able to entrust a great assignment with Moses. Now, it took a very faithful man to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. You couldn't have anybody with that kind of assignment that was unreliable, that was not dependable, that was not trustworthy. God had to pick a man that he could trust and say, now Moses will be faithful with this assignment, and no matter how hard it gets, he ain't gonna quit. How many of you know there are times he wanted to quit? There was one time God wanted to kill him, and Moses said, no, don't kill, you can't kill him. And then there's another time that Moses said, Lord, kill them all. No, he loved God's people. He was faithful. Amen. Faithful people do according to what is in the heart and mind of God. 1 Samuel 2:35 says, and I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to that which is in my heart and mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. Now, we know that this scripture is referring to Christ. He is that faithful priest that God raised up. But God said, I'm going to raise up somebody that's faithful. And that faithful person was Jesus. So, but faithful people have that quality just like Jesus had. Jesus said, I only do those things that please my Father. That means he was faithful. So we have to have the same qualities and characteristics in us that Jesus has in him, because we are branches attached to the true vine. So that same faithfulness that's in him is also in us.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for
all I... We've not been all that bad, had not done all that much, didn't go that far out of the line. The fact of the matter is, if you stepped out of the line, you're still guilty. Bible said if you break one sin, you're guilty of them all. I mean, because the bottom line is, if you commit one sin, you're worthy of death. And if it's one or 1 million, they're all the same in God's sight. And if he's going to have compassion on one sin, he'll have compassion on 1 million sins. And so we can't fathom, listen at Jeremiah, his mercies and his compassions, because the word says they fail not. Now this is what you need to know, because that's where the devil strikes us and moves us out of our place and keeps us from functioning and flowing where we are. Do you know if the devil can get you out of your place, out of your position, out of where God has placed you, he can do damage not only to you but to those God intended you to be a blessing to? So the devil wants you to stay in an erroring way, in a way that goes out of his will, in a way that goes out of his word, in a way that goes out of the way of the Lord. But whenever we do like the prodigal son and come to ourselves, we can go right back home to the Father. And faithful is he. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. When he talks about his compassions and his mercies, the Bible says they are new every morning. Now that is something to shout about. Because some days are filled with so much stuff. And it's like, oh my God, I don't think I could take another nothing. But somehow by the grace of God, he brings you through that day and he maketh you to lie down. And when you get up in the morning, just like some of you got to have a fresh cup of coffee, God has some fresh mercies and some fresh compassion ready for you for the new day. And here's what you ought to rejoice in. God always measures out every day, every morning, fresh mercies and fresh compassions enough to deal with everything you've got to deal with in that single day. Somebody not getting this. You're not getting this. You ain't got no reason to freak out and to stress out and throw your hands up and act like you're going to give up because you can't take it no more. God, when he created the day, woke you up in the day, he prepared through the day enough mercy and compassion to take you through that day. That's why when you get to the end of the day and don't know how you made it through, it's because you were floating through on his mercies and his compassions. That's why when you wanted to say something and he kept your mouth closed, it's because he had enough mercies and compassion. That's why when you wanted to let that hand slip, he kept the grip and wouldn't let you do something you would have regretted. It's because he put enough mercies and compassion. When you would have laid down your religion like you take off your clothes, he kept you beyond your own desire because he included enough mercies and compassion. Listen, mercies are extended to us because we are outside of the perfect flow of God. If we were in the perfect flow of God, we wouldn't need no mercy. Now listen to me well. But because in this day there are pitfalls and there are cracks and crevices where we make mistakes and step wrong and miss, he grants us enough mercy to fill in the gap for where we did not measure up to. But the compassion is when he has the loving understanding to know how weak and frail we are, and he knows our hearts, and he judges us based on the motive and not just the action. Don't you know everything you do, God understands why you do it? Man may not understand it, but God understands. You know, when you reach that point where you don't understand why, God does. And so his compassion deals with you because he knows your breaking point. He knows your level of being able to handle every and anything. And he measures out compassion according to each one of our abilities and or our inabilities. Look at what this word says. It says, again, great, verse 23, is thy faithfulness. Great. Why do you suppose that Jeremiah says, great is thy faithfulness? Because he's talking about faithfulness in the light of unfaithfulness. He's talking about what God said he would do and does over against what we say we're going to do and don't. Now look at this. How many of us would be where we are, experiencing life as we're experiencing, based upon some things we promised God we would do and have not kept them? How many of you think that if God would have rewarded us according to our deeds and our doings and would dealt with us the way we dealt with him, that we would be sitting here right now if he were the kind of God to have allowed justice instead of mercy and compassion and his faithfulness to his word to roll on? How many of you think that you'd be where you are right now? And you think about the fact that you aren't where you ought to be, but how many of you think you would be where you are right now if for what you did, God said, I'm going to reward you according to that? Or what you didn't do, God says, because you didn't do, I'm not going to do. What about if, like you, who forget about God some days, don't talk to him, don't pray, don't communicate with him, don't seek his counsel, don't acknowledge him, he did the same thing on any one given day? Well, I got news for you. If he ever forgot about you any one day, there would not be another day. Listen to me well now. Because one day with him forgetting about it, that means I wouldn't have breath to breathe. One day of forgetting about me, that means I wouldn't have health and strength. One day of forgetting about me, that means all of my needs would not be met. One day of forgetting about me, all of the favor that he has, doors that were open, that he's holding open, would have been shut in my face. I mean, if he forgot about me one day, that wouldn't be a next day for me. But because he's so faithful and he loves us, and the Bible says he causes his sun to shine on the just and the unjust, the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, because he loves me in spite of me, he keeps on taking care of me. That's great. That's faithfulness so great that we don't deserve it, and yet we sit there and act like it's what he's got to do. So many of us don't realize how great his faithfulness is. How many times you've asked God for some stuff, you've asked him and you've forgotten about what you've asked him. But because of his faithfulness, he still did what he promised he was going to do and brought it back to your remembrance. You see, you don't understand that God is so sovereign and so authoritative and so powerful that his faithfulness to himself, his word, his will, and his way is his first priority. And as his creation made in his image and in his likeness, it is a part of his word, his will, and his way that he would minister, take care of us, especially those of us who are called by his name. There are some things as a father does for his children, even if the children are disobedient, he is bound by the responsibility tied to the fact that he is responsible for them, that he keeps on doing what he does. How many times you parents, you've told your children to do some things, they didn't want to do them, but because you were the parent and they had a need, you went on and fulfilled the need anyway, even though they didn't deserve it. You started realizing, yes, I know that they've not been obedient. I know they've not done what I said do, but because I am the parent, I am their source, I am their supply, I'm still going to bless them with what they need and have need of. But then you start cutting off all of the privileges and you start cutting off all of the extra and the abundance and the lanyard, you start cutting all that off to help them understand that even though you have to meet their needs, you do not have to give them their wants. But God is so faithful, and I just want some witnesses here who will testify to this. When we have not been all that we ought to have been, he's not only met our needs, but he's still given us our wants. And those of you who've not raised your hand just don't realize how good God's been to you. Because you don't deserve it many times, and yet he does it. It's not because of you. It's because of him. And he's not going to back down, nor is he going to turn around, nor is he going to give up on his own word. So he says, great is thy faithful. When I can't depend on my own word, when I can't depend on myself to make it, I can depend on God because he is faithful. Listen at this word. Listen at this word. Verse 24 says, the Lord is my portion. I don't know who your portion is. It's another way of Jeremiah saying, like David, the Lord is my shepherd. Because when you talk about the Lord being your portion, you mean the Lord is your source and your supply. When you're talking about the Lord being your portion, you're talking about God being your sufficiency. When you talk about God being your portion, you're talking about God being the total sum and citadel of your entire world. When you talk about God being your portion, you're talking about every need and desire being met because he is more than able. Now listen to what he says. Saith my soul. This ain't just an external thing. It's not just about a provisional thing on the outside. He says, therefore will I hope. Now here's the word that ties in why he's doing it. In is indicative of relationship. I am going to again trust in him, hope in him, lean on him, depend on him, or in him. It is because of my relationship with him that I have the hope that I have. I don't know if you know it, my brothers and sisters, but no matter who you are, what level of life you're living life on, you're going to be challenged and you're going to be tried. And the more that you try to live for the Lord, the more the devil is going to try and mess with you and pull you away from the perfect will of God. The more you decide that you surrender your life to God, the more the devil is going to try his best to turn your life around. And I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, he may send you through the fiery furnace. He might send you in a lion's den. He might cause you to cross over a Red Sea experience or be in the wilderness. But no matter what you go through, know that if the Lord is with you, you are going to make it through. So when he talks about his portions, he's talking about his provision. And as God is your provision, he's your protector, he's your peace, he's everything that you have need of if he is your portion. And if your soul knows it underneath the skin, then that's something to rejoice about because you know it is well underneath the skin. If it is well underneath the skin, it doesn't matter what happens in your life. You are rooted and grounded in the knowledge that great is thy faithfulness. Now listen at this, listen at this. It says, therefore will I hope in him. Too many of us have put our hopes in the wrong places, in the wrong people, in the wrong things, in the wrong situations, in the wrong circumstances. If you put your hope in the Lord, you will never ever be dissatisfied. He will never let your expectations down when you hope in the... Have you ever put your hope in man? Come on, be real with me now. Whether that man was mama, daddy, sister, brother, husband, wife, friend or foe, employer, or whomever, have you ever put your hope in them and they let you down? Well, I got news for you. The Bible teaches you don't do that. Don't put your trust and hope in man because he will surely, he ain't got enough power to hold up. He can't do for himself. What makes you think he can do for you? So listen at this. He hopes in the Lord. The next verse says, and I'm closing, the Lord is good. Can somebody say the Lord is good? The Lord is good, but let me qualify this. Unto them that wait for him. Listen again. The Lord is good. Now, there is a difference here as you understand this. God is good all the time. And we know this. But there is a difference between God, that's who he is, that's his personality, that's his character. He's good, he's just good, but he doesn't have to be good to you.
Come on.
Listen at me well now. Just because he's good, and he may allow good to happen and spread it out because of his whole personality, he doesn't have to go out of his way to be good to you. Just when folk are good, and just because they don't be good to you, they aren't good to you, they're not a blessing, you don't mean that they're not good. Folk can be giving out stuff. Oh, he a good man, get to you. Well, I'm through giving out now. Does that make them not good because they didn't hand out one to you? No, that doesn't make them not good. Just because he's good doesn't mean he has to be good to you when you are not good to him. Look at what the word says now. The Lord is good, but here's the qualification, unto them that wait for him. Now, what does wait for him mean? I'm glad you asked that. Because a whole lot of us don't understand, and we wonder why God doesn't bless us, and God doesn't answer our prayer, and God doesn't do this, and God doesn't do the other. God is saying to you, if you really want me to do it, then leave it in my hands. When you pray your prayer and finish all you got to say, conclude it by saying, thy will be done. And if you really want my will to be done, stop trying to implement yours. If you really want me to do what I am able to do and what I am willing to do, then know that while I am in the process of doing it for you, sometimes I've got to straighten out some other stuff around you or concerning you or heading towards you, so that when I give what I'm going to give to you, you'll be able to enjoy it at the same time I give it to you. Because when I give you good gifts, I give you the ability to enjoy it when I give it to you. That's how I know it's a gift from God. If you got a gift and you can't enjoy it right now, then it might not be from God. Y'all didn't catch that, or maybe you don't want to acknowledge that. If you say you have a gift and you can't enjoy your gift, maybe that was not a good and perfect gift. Because every good and perfect gift comes from God. And if it's a good and perfect gift, he gives it to you when you need it or when he wants you to have it. And when he gives you the gift, you can unwrap it and enjoy it right now. But how many know if you steal it? How many of you know if you get it before it's time? You can't rejoice and you can't enjoy it. And if you got to get it, you're going to have to get it hiding, because you can't broadcast, this is my gift. Oh, y'all mighty quiet here today. You see, you ain't always got to let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. Don't get me wrong. But something is wrong when you can't rejoice even by yourself. Y'all ought to hear me here. Something is wrong when you can't say thank you. Because see, you'll see the word is true. God will tell folk, listen, this is what I got for you, but I'm not giving it to you right now. But you don't have to wait till you get it to start rejoicing. You can start rejoicing when he tells you it's yours, but then you got to wait till he brings it to pass. But when you start trying to hook and crook, and when you start trying to manipulate, and when you start trying to scheme and plot and plan to get it, then that's when you cease to be in the will of God, even though he told you it was yours. Sometimes he's got to finish making it for you. What it is so good, it takes so much time, and he's trying to do it right, that it takes time for him to get it together for you. And if you rush the process, you won't get some messed up stuff, because you wouldn't let him fix it for you. Everything you're gonna put in the pound cake when you whip it all up and get ready to put it in the oven is in there. But if you start licking the batter, you'll get sick eating enough of the batter. But if you put it in the oven and let it rise and then let it come out and cool down, when you cut lives like it's supposed to. Try pulling it. Because listen, everything that looked like it's done ain't done. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. I wish I had some bakers here, because I won't go back to that cake. If you pull it out before it's ready to come out and you start messing with it, how many of you know it'll? It'll trap on you, and you can put it back in the oven, but it'll never rise back up like it would have if you'd have let it finish its... Oh, Lord, I wish I had a witness. Oh, yeah. Maybe the reason he ain't giving it to you yet is because he ain't through with it yet. But look at what the Word of God says. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Oh, don't get caught up in the devil and the world and the society's way of doing things. Listen, the majority ain't always right. Sometimes the majority means that all the fools are on the same side. Y'all ought to hear me here. Sometimes you got to understand that just because the world sets standards, that doesn't mean that they're God's standards. You can't miss out on what God has for you. He knows your course. He knows my course. He knows everyone's course. The reason why he gives some folk theirs early is because he knows they might not be here long. Or because his mission for them is different from that of yours. Don't get upset because God is blessing somebody else in their season. If you just wait for him, he's not going to let your season pass you by. I ain't got to be jealous of no man. I ain't got to be jealous of no ministry. I ain't got to be jealous of what somebody else has. If I just wait for him, he said in due season, he'll lift me. Because he knows if he lifts me up before I'm ready, I'll just mess over it and lose it all. But if he waits till I'm ready, if he waits till you're ready, and he gives it to you, then and only then will you be able to appreciate it and do with it what God intended for you to do with it. Think about your life. What if God would have given you everything you got now at 10 years old, 20 years old? Even 30 years old for some of us who are old. He didn't give you, many of you, what you got until right now because you couldn't handle it before right now. So you got to learn to wait for him. Let me tell you what happens if you wait for him. Sit down and I'm going to be through. If you wait for him, that means you elevate the giver above the gift. Listen to me well. If you wait for him, you elevate him above what he does for you. Now, God is no fool. God knows that a whole lot of you are here just because you want something from him. But if you ever get to the point that you want him more than you want from him, you're going to find out how much better it is to wait for him. Just because everybody else is doing it, just because everybody else has jumped on the bandwagon, just because everybody else feels this is the time, this ought to be done, or that ought to be done, if you wait for him. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, that he knows best. You know, young ladies who don't get married at 17, 18, 20, 21, 22, wait till they're a little mature. I think about 25, if they're not married, society calls them what? Oh, y'all done heard it, huh? And so some foolish young woman, because she don't want to be called an old maid, gets somebody that God doesn't have for her. And because she wants to do what everybody else is doing, because she done been in humpteen weddings and now folk keep asking her, when you gonna get married? So she acts a fool and go rush with a nobody that God didn't give her to, got a zero thinking she was getting a hero, and find herself in a situation that before the celebration is over good, find out she can't live with him. It's because they bought